Hot summer nights cool down with Sleep Outfitters. Save $500 on Tempur-Breeze mattresses from Tempur-Pedic and get $25 off Tempur-Breeze pillows, sheets, and protectors. Deals like this don't come often and they definitely won't last. Shop Sleep Outfitters today.
The Hard Shoulder with Kira Kelly and Shane Coleman on News Talk
with Kia.
Now, we're joined by Aoife O'Driscoll, English teacher in Cork, CBC, textbook author and webinar deliverer at Tralee ED Centre. Aoife, great to talk to you.
Hi, how are you, Shane?
I'm good. Listen, thanks a million for taking the time to talk to us. You have some brilliant advice, I know, for people doing the Leaving Cert and the Junior Cert over the next week. Before we get to the nuts and bolts of it, can I quickly ask you about this warning out there telling people not to use AI to predict what's going to come up on your exam paper?
Yeah, actually, when that was mentioned to me, I looked it up. I looked up the article. And out of curiosity, I went to one of the AI programs and asked it to predict what might come up in the Leaving Cert English, just to see what kind of job it would do. And very worryingly, it actually predicted poets that aren't on the course for this year.
Ouch.
Now, that's a very easy mistake to spot. The thing I'd be worried about is that there are other mistakes that wouldn't be as easy for students or even ourselves to spot. And the other thing to be aware of is the AI isn't doing anything that we're not doing. We've all read the exam papers and it's making the same slightly educated guesses that we would all be making. But the key thing there is they're just guesses. I think prediction, the word prediction is so dangerous because you can't do it. What I would say is you can hope. That's all you can do, really.
Yeah. Okay, we've dealt with that. Don't trust AI. Let's talk about you're in there on day one. You sit down, you open the first paper. What do you do next?
Well, the important thing to do, I think, is to read through the whole paper very, very quickly. You're not analysing the questions, but just have a quick skim through the whole paper. The reason for that is twofold. Firstly, that you can make sure that you don't repeat yourself if you'd plan to use material perhaps in a question and then you see a question later on where that material would have suited better, then depending on the subject, obviously, that you won't make that mistake and you won't be repeating yourself. The second reason is the questions can appear very daunting at first. Students have probably looked at so many past papers now that they're almost know them off by heart. And they are thrown when they see the new wording of the question. So start with the question you know best, that you're most comfortable with. Leave the ones that you're a little more worried about. You'd be surprised. It's not exactly sleeping on it, but while you're working away on the question you're happy with, those are at the back of your mind. They're in your subconscious. And when you do come around to it, you'd be surprised, actually, that they won't appear as daunting as they initially did.
Okay. I loved this piece of advice you gave. And actually, do you know what we're going to do? We're going to put the notes up online on our social media because I actually think they're that good. I think everybody should read them who are doing the exam. So we will put these up online for our listeners. But you make the point about underlining or numbering parts of the question before you begin. Tell us the advantage of that.
Yeah, I think the really important thing about, you know, focusing on the question, particularly actually in light of what we were saying a moment ago there about predictions, it's only human for students to hope that certain things are going to come up and say, you think a subject or a topic or a poet is going to come up and it does. Sometimes you can be so delighted that you rush to answer and you haven't read the question carefully. It's the single biggest mistake students make. And one really useful piece of advice, I think, for that is to try and imagine that you have to explain that question to somebody who doesn't understand it. How would you paraphrase it? Look out for the word "and" in the question. Is there more than one part to the question? If there are two words, original and eccentric, say, in a poetry essay question in English, they don't mean the same thing. You know, students can often look at a few descriptive words in a question and lump them together and think they all mean the same thing. They don't really break that question down. Focus in on those keywords.
Okay. You are a big believer in ruthless time management, Aoife.
Yeah, absolutely. That's really, really important, particularly for, say, junior cycle paper where, you know, the layout can be different from year to year. They don't know how long they have to spend on each question. I would say know what your timing should be. It varies from subject to subject. So, say, for Leaving Cert English, a mark a minute. For junior cycle English, 5 marks, 3 minutes. Then for, say, Leaving Cert exam RE, you know, you've got to do 40 marks in 17 minutes. So it's going to be very different. If you go to the exam papers for your given subject, you know, whether they're educate.ie or EDCO or whatever, they will almost always have that breakdown of timing in the front. And it's something that students probably haven't looked at during the year, but now is the time to go there. The danger with running over at all is that if you run over by a minute in each question, well, then by the time you get to the last question, you could be 5, 6, 10, 20 minutes over and you're not going to get the paper finished. It's better to write lots of short, maybe not as brilliant answers than to write brilliant unfinished answers or an unfinished paper.
Yeah, it makes sense. Be aware of the command words that appear in questions. Tell us more.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that students need to focus on. Again, it can vary a little from subject to subject, but if the question says outline, well, then just give the main points. Don't go into huge detail. You know, if it says identify something, it's asking you to go in to the original text perhaps and pick something out clearly and directly. Explain, say why it happens. Don't just say what did happen, but why did it happen? Discuss is developing the ideas and looking at all different aspects of the topic, maybe weighing up the pros and cons. And that can kind of link into evaluating. You know, imagine that you're putting it on a weighing scales, what's in favor of, what's against. And, you know, don't just describe it, but give a judgment at the end. Analyze it, then go into great breakdown. Compare is a word students sometimes think only means talk about the links that are similar. Obviously, it also means contrast, particularly in English. So just to be aware, again, you know, they will vary a little subject to subject. But if you look at your exam papers, that guidance is very often given at the start. I mean, in the exam papers that you've been working on all year, the book.
OK, you also say at this stage of the year, in a more general sense, this is less in the exam and more generally, it's really important to avoid two things. Tell us what those two things are.
Well, the one thing that I think it's really important to avoid, actually, is, talking to too many people at this time of year. That's ironic. I know I'm talking about it now.
No, but you're an expert. That's different.
Well, I would strongly dispute that, but and my students certainly would. But, you know, there is a huge danger in being a little panicked now and then getting different advice, talking to your cousin, your friend, somebody else, looking up something online perhaps, and it's giving you different advice to what your teacher has been giving.
Or the school up the road has done X, Y, and Z and we haven't done that.
Exactly. Your teacher knows you best. Your teacher has covered the material. There's not one way to approach, you know, a subject or a topic. So you're much better to stick with what you've been doing. They know what you've covered. Your teachers know it. There's no one magic formula and there's no one perfect revision method either. So I think that's really, really important. Trust your teacher.
And,
you know?
And after the exam, don't hang around for the post-mortem.
No, there's no benefit to that. And at the end of the day, you know, one of you is going to come away from that conversation feeling unhappy and anxious, you know. Just move on. It would be like now as if you were running a race and you were doing hurdles or jumps and you spent every minute looking back to see how you did and the one you'd just gone, you'd crash through the next one as well. You know, look ahead, move on. And students are often the worst judges themselves of how they've done. You know, I'm sure all teachers will get the kind of the panicked email from a student saying, I've done really badly, I'm very worried. And then, you know, come August or September, they get the distinction or the H1 and you're kind of rolling your eyes. So just don't discuss it. And I would say to parents as well, and I say this as a parent now of grown children, be wary of maybe asking too much or suggesting something. You know, you're going to be killed by your children for a start. But, you know, don't ask them as well, I would say to parents, you know, have you covered this? I heard a teacher saying this on the radio, or somebody said that might come up. You know, don't ask them if they covered something unless you have a genuine, real solution and a strategy there to give them if they haven't.
Okay, last point. I like this one. Answer what's on the page, not what you hoped would come up. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so common, isn't it? It's kind of links back to what I was saying earlier there. So imagine you were doing English and you have, despite advice, put a lot of your eggs into one basket and you're hoping Elizabeth Bishop is going to come up in the poetry section. And you open the paper and lo and behold, there she is. And you immediately just start writing the essay that you've been preparing all year. And you could be asked a very different essay. For example, in the English last year, one of the questions on the poetry of Derek Mahon was very tricky. But if students took their time and they trusted themselves that they have this material and not just to go in and write what they want to write, but in every single paragraph, to ask themselves if they have answered the question in that paragraph. You know, anything that you're writing that hasn't directly answered the question is not only a waste of your time, it's actually losing you marks.
Okay.
So really, really important.
Adapt it to fit the question, not the other way around.
Absolutely. 100%. Yeah.
Okay. Absolutely brilliant advice. We are going to put, there's loads more besides that we haven't got there, but we're going to put these notes up on our social media. They're brilliant. I have a daughter doing the Leaving Cert. I'm going to slightly ignore your advice, Aoife. I'm going to tell her about this and tell her about this advice.
Best of luck to her and to you.
Thanks a million. That was absolutely brilliant. Aoife O'Driscoll there, English teacher in Cork CBC, textbook author and webinar deliverer at Tralee ED Centre. Thank you indeed for talking to us.
The Hard Shoulder with Ciara Kelly and Shane Coleman. With Kia. Weekdays at 4 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.